Hi, I'm Chase Bunker, but you're not here for me. You're here for my guest. She is a very funny comedian, host of the podcast Good For You. Her latest special, Mouthy, is available right now on YouTube, and you can see her at the Terry Theater on April 11th for her Big Baby Tour. Tickets on sale now. She is Whitney Cummings. Whitney, how are you?
I'm wonderful, sir. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thanks a lot for coming on. One thing I didn't realize is that not only you wrote Two Broke Girls, you also had your TV series, Whitney. You wrote both of those at the same time, which I imagine has to be exhausting to write for two TV shows at the same time.
You know, yes and no. You know, I think that if you're doing the thing you want to be doing, it's not exhausting, it's energizing. Look, I whatever happened, I have a deep wound that makes me need to want to make people laugh. So often the most exhausting, scary thing is not being able to do that. And I think I had a sort of clairvoyance knowing that TV wasn't going to be around that much longer. I think I was like, you know, I see where this is going. And so I was like, this might be my last shot to do the thing that I always wanted to do, you know, growing up on, you know, the original Roseanne and Mad About You and, mm-hmm. and loving multicam Cosby Show, rest in peace, mm-hmm. Martin. So I was like, this is my chance to do this. I'm not going to miss it.
Or would you say like you're kind of like a 90s sitcom nut? Like you just love all those 90s, like Friends, Frasier, all those.
Yes, totally. I mean, I loved Ellen. Like, I was a big sitcom nerd. Yeah, Martin was definitely my favorite. But, you know, because it's basically stand-up. You know, it's theater, but it's a bunch of people kind of doing stand-up in a way mm-hmm. For a live audience. But I loved the ones that were, you know, designed around a comedian. That was sort of my first understanding of like, oh, that person's like trying to be funny on purpose. You know, that I didn't get to see a lot of stand-up as a child, but I got to see a lot of like sitcoms that stand-up comics made.
Yeah, I think like I remember watching a lot of those growing up, or at least like seeing them kind of in syndication when they're on like at an earlier time, like Grace Under Fire, Caroline in the City, and all those yeah. where you kind of like this where you see a lot of these comedians. You're right, like I didn't watch a lot of comedy until we got Comedy Central later on, but yeah, that's how I discovered these comedians.
Right. Yeah, say that, me too. So, you know, so that was my dream, you know, and then, you know, to me, like when I watched the original Roseanne, you know, I think that's where the realness was, you know, and mm-hmm. after having done a sitcom that I was in, I see how, you know, much they probably had to keep things, you know, mainstream and how they were probably creatively a little bit handcuffed. But I remember watching the original Roseanne and being like, wait, that's what my parents argue about. Like, that's what, how we talk to each other in my house. Like, that's what our couch looks like. Like, it was so real. And I think that, you know, sitcoms that have comics as the star aren't showing these unachievable lives and sort of everyone lives in a gorgeous billion-dollar brownstone, but they, you know, work at a coffee shop and you're like, how do I don't get, you know, so the comedians shows really did, I think address things that like hit home, mm-hmm. you know?
If I'm not mistaken, I think Whitney was also one of the first big projects for Ray Sehorn, who just won a Golden Globe. Is that right?
Yeah. She played my best friend in the show. And it was like, you know, Ray Sehorn was undervalued in this business for so long. And, you know, everyone has their time. She came in, I could not cast this part. It was a part of this like super brassy, but very vulnerable underneath, super tough, actually kind of more based on me than even my character in a way. Mm-hmm. Super prickly, but a marshmallow inside character who was, you know, single, you know, couldn't find a man, was very critical of men, but all she wanted was love. And she was sort of trapped in her own cynicism. And we couldn't cast it. Everybody came off just like mean or rough, or it was supposed to be very clear that this person was like damaged and this was just like armor. This was just like a front. And Ray came in and it was just like, that's it. Like, that's it. That's her. She just walked in. And I was like, well, that's her. I had seen a pilot that just her essence in general. She's so clearly competent and the best at what she does, but you could feel a vulnerability underneath. And then she started reading the scene and I was like, you can keep reading this if you want, but like, please do this. Like, I'm begging you. And like, there's no more time for you to audition because you have this job. Like, I can't even put you through us pretending that you're not getting this. But she had done a pilot where it was like a body switch pilot where her and Will Arnett were in it a while ago. It didn't air. I think it was Mitch Hurwitz who did the Arrested Development.
Okay.
And she played a character that was a man who was stuck in a woman's body, like Mel Gibson movie back when there was just like shows like that.
Yeah.
that didn't get everyone in trouble. And she was playing Will Arnett as a woman. It was like, and she nailed it. I mean, I remember seeing that and being like, this is the greatest living actress. And she can do anything. She can do anything.
Do you get to take that victory lap and be like, yeah, I discovered Rhea Seehorn. No big deal.
I mean, look, she had been cast in a lot of things, but she was always like the quirky friend. She was always, and then once she got on, I hired her to play my friend in the show. I kind of started writing her as the star of the show. I was just like, I think you're the star of the show. I think we got this all wrong. This show should be called Ray, not Whitney. Mm-hmm. It's cool. It's cool to see people get what they deserve in a world where you don't always see that. But her talent is so extreme. It was like always only a matter of time. Like every day I was like, are you in the Spielberg movie yet? Like, do you need a week off? Like it was very clear that she was going to go all the way with or without me. But I do think it probably took, me, someone who appreciates, she's like an actress and she was real, like brilliant actress. And she was coming in on a sitcom. And I think a lot of people go like, oh, it's a sitcom. Like, I'm just going to kind of say the lines and like, we're not that serious here. And I'm like, no, I was like taking this so serious. I was like, I grew up Roseanne, with, like John Goodman, like Laurie Metcalf. These were like Stephen Wolf trained actresses, So to me, I didn't look at sitcoms as like, sort of like, whatever, we're just here doing a goofy sitcom. I think that, I tried to elevate the, performances and have people like what I saw in Roseanne. So I don't think that someone else maybe would have thought to put her on a sitcom. But yeah, she's going to be Meryl Streep one way or another.
All right. We've talked a lot about Rhea Seehorn. I want to talk about you. You recently had a child, and I keep hearing people say, oh, having a child, it just changes you. Did it change like how you write comedy or how you approach comedy now?
Oh God, it changed the way I dance. There's something that happens the second you have a kid where you cannot, I don't know if it's like a pelvic floor issue or something, but you instantly start like using your fingers and like pointing. It's when I heard that thing about like Victoria Beckham danced weird at her son's wedding. I'm like, yeah, mom danced weird. There's something, I don't know what it does. Maybe it's an Achilles issue. I don't know what it is, but you cannot dance the way you used to dance. I don't know if it's like a biological, like evolutionary thing to make sure that you don't mate again too quickly. Unclear. It definitely changed the way that I think, in terms of there's a level of empathy and understanding that, once you have a kid, you're like, wait, everyone starts out nice and sweet and innocent. Like, I didn't know that. I guess I just thought jerks came out as jerks. You know what I mean? It's like, not everyone comes out being like, I'm just going to cut people off in traffic four lanes. Well, it's society or something happens to people to break them. Because when you see this like innocent little kid, you're just like, oh God, I can't mess this up. Like, this is like, it's on me. I mean, I've seen too many things where the serial killers, they always blame the mom. It's always the mom's fault. Like, you didn't let him wear your pantyhose. Like, you didn't let him in the shower with your son. Like, what? How do I not make this kid a serial murderer? Like, that's basically what I wake up every morning and contemplate. But yeah, I think that there's just a deeper sort of empathy for like, I'm really curious about what goes wrong, where we go wrong in turning kids into adult monsters.
I feel like it's always like whenever you have a child, you're just like, all right, I don't want to be like this type of parent. And then you just start getting like natural anxiety over every decision you do now.
I wish I had more anxiety. I think I need, I'm kind of like, crackheads used to do this in the woods.
You like, can take my anxiety.
It's fine. He's fine. Adversity's good for kids. I'm like, it's good. It's good. Good. Go get lost in the mall. He'll come back. He'll come back.
There...
Like, you know, we need a little adversity. You know, I think that it's almost my anxiety is more like this kid doesn't have enough adversity. He's not going to be tough enough. He's not going to be resilient enough. I want him to be street smart, like, you know, and have, care, you know, he's not funny yet. So I mean, I need to love him a little less, I think.
I wish we had more time. I want to talk about your robot and maybe if you use it as a decoy parent just to get yourself 5 minutes of free time. There's so much I want to talk to you about. We ran out of time. I've gone way over, and I'm very sorry about that. You can see her at the Terry Theater on April 11th for the Big Baby Tour. Tickets are on sale now. Whitney Cummings, let's talk again when you get closer to showtime. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me, sir.